Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Aleknarechamut.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Annie Feit. This week on AK, rhubarb. The humble vegetable is undergoing something of a renaissance with studies on its health benefits, export possibilities, and plans for commercial production of rhubarb juice in the works. The hardy plant supplies us with juicy pie fillings and other dessert fare. Ellen Lockyer, who's a big fan of rhubarb, brings us this look at the dramatic leafy plant, which some people think will be the next big thing.
This is the story I heard. Long ago, there was no rhubarb in Alaska. A sea captain brought some back from China and planted it next to his brother's cabin in Old Knik. Many, many years later, a Matanuska colony pioneer happened upon the cabin and marveled at the size of the leaves of the then unknown to Alaska rhubarb. He took some cuttings, and the rest is history. Rhubarb is such a common plant now, one hardly notices it, but a few Alaskans are trying to change that.
This is the rhubarb patch.
Carol Kenley and Bruce Bush are both small market farmers.
2 years ago, Bruce gave me one of his plants. And I got 75 starts. That's what I planted this with, from one of his old plants. Yeah. You might want to tell her about your old
project. Plants come from Max Sherrod from the North Palmer. He was a colonist.
Now Kenley and Bush are nurturing a 175-plant rhubarb patch at Kenley's farm in Palmer. A walk between the rows of bushy plants elicits a wealth of information on the proper cutting and care of the rhubarb.
A rhubarb doesn't really like it real warm, and it'll start deteriorating and it won't grow as good. That's beautiful.
This is like
a number one rhubarb right here.
The two have big plans for their rhubarb. They want to start a commercial rhubarb juice production company.
And why juice would be a great idea is you would sell the big stock as your fresh market. Some could go to a chopped frozen rhubarb, but all the tiny stuff you could juice. All the stuff that's too big you could juice.
Rhubarb is a vegetable, although most of us treat it like a fruit. A marketing study by the Alaska Division of Agriculture this year reveals some juicy facts about the commercial viability of the plant. There's more than 64 varieties, for one. Sadly, the report laments, rhubarb is not a fast food. On the upside, society is changing, and the local food trend is opening new markets. The report's bottom line, though, is this succinct advice. There are not many shoppers looking for rhubarb. Ruby Hollenbeck wants to change that. She wants to put rhubarb on the nation's tables.
Yeah, Alaskans know, I think all of us do. If you're old-timers, you see the rhubarb growing along so many of the houses, and people just know that it's something that we can grow and cut up and use in the winter.
She says old-timers called the plant Alaska's apple. Hollenbeck authors her all-rhubarb blog, Rhubarb or Bust, from her Delta Junction kitchen.
And the reason I'm so passionate about it is because it's limitless, as far as I can see, for feeding Alaskans. No matter if you're in a village or in a city, you can grow rhubarb. We are seriously, the last couple of years, looking at agricultural food production for our state. Rhubarb, we chuckle at it, but in fact, it's a very smart move to look at rhubarb for Alaska as a production.
The plant is easy to grow, quite prolific, has no known insect predators, and loves a chilly climate, a distinct advantage for any Alaska crop. And a bonus, moose won't touch it. Hollenbeck says rhubarb is selling out at farmers' markets outside Alaska from $5 to $8 a pound. She sees it as an export crop. And mass rhubarb production is exactly what Carol Kenley and Bruce Bush would like to do. Bush says Alaska has the available land to grow it. He's growing enough right now to supply produce wholesalers in Anchorage, who have it in major supermarkets.
Kind of like a cranberries, people making stuff out of cranberries everywhere. We're trying to build up a market there. And then, like I say, once these markets get started, or these processor people that want this rhubarb get started, then I would fall back on just the farming end. Somebody's got to grow it. We're good at growing it, so we'd stay on the growing part.
Kenley says compared with cranberries, rhubarb has more vitamin A and K and more potassium and calcium. It's high in vitamin C, low in fat, and high in fiber. Right now, their juice production idea is in the early stages, with a production facility under construction.
What we're doing right now is using mason jars.
Kind of jarring it, yeah.
And bottling it that way, and so it is straight, 100% rhubarb juice.
Although it's tart to the taste, a little honey or sugar will sweeten rhubarb juice. Or add it to lemonade, like Kenley and Bush do, for a delicious summer refresher.
This is rhubarb lemonade. Oh.
With the growing eat local trend, who knows where Alaska's ubiquitous plant will flourish next. For AK, I'm Ellen Lockyer.
Time now for our weekly trip around the state. We're visiting two villages known to most Alaskans as stops on the Iditarod, White Mountain and Grayling.
My name is Amy Titus, and I am from White Mountain, Alaska. There's about 209 people living here. Fishing is in full swing. Everybody's catching kings and dog salmon and humpies, and the weather hasn't been very nice lately. It's just starting to pick up, but several people have caught a king salmon, so everybody's excited about that. During the summer, when there's projects, there's more jobs available, but many people go subsistence hunting and fishing and just recreational boating. Yeah, we just got a new school. It opened last summer, so it's fairly new, and everybody's happy about that. Our old school burned down a couple of years ago, so they just completed it last year, and this is the first year that they opened for in the new one. We're not on a lake, we're on a river, and it is really beautiful right now. There's leaves on the trees, leaves on the willows, and the trees are all green, and there's a bunch of flowers, and the air smells really, really nice. A few community members did plant gardens, and the ones that did have really nice results. Even it's early, they're growing really nicely. People fly on the local airlines here, but there's also the river is open, and if you could go to Golovin or anywhere from there, and you could also go upriver to Council and then drive to Nome if you like driving.
My name is Shirley Clark, and I'm from Grayling, Alaska. We're 60 miles upriver from Holy Cross on the Yukon River. Well, right now, you know, it's really, really green. We have lots of very healthy grass. We have a new airport. We welcome any tours. The city has 7 rooms available. The bed and breakfast has rooms. You know, not terribly fancy, but people are friendly, and they like to see a different face. The only drawback is we do get bugs. The mosquitoes get a little thick sometimes. I guess it's been proven that 51% of the king salmon spawn in Canada. So, you know, they've been bickering over the fish for years, and they still are. Well, especially in the spring here, people do really go out and fish, and it's really a nice time. Everybody's cleaning their yards. You know, it's light all night long. No one goes to bed before 3 o'clock. It's just a fun time.
That was Amy Titus from White Mountain and Shirley Clark, the mayor of Grayling. 300 Villages is AK's attempt to put every community in Alaska on the radio. Thanks for listening to AK on Alaska News Nightly. Tune in next week when we examine a unique slice of life on the Alaska ferry nicknamed the McTusty. This story involves both donuts and bacon, so you won't want to miss it. I'm Annie Feit.